Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible here. We study the Bible and we aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. By the grace of God, we've done 22 books of the Bible. And I thank the Lord who enables us to study, who gives us the grace to learn His Word. His word is new every morning. It's a light that gives us the light to our path. And I thank you for always following in and studying the word of God. There is no limitation to revelation. God will reveal His word to whoever shows the need. If you want God to speak to you, He will come out. He will speak to you. He will give you that word that you've always longed for. Just read His word and trust in Him. And He will speak to you indeed. Now, we started on our book of Isaiah yesterday, and I want us to continue today with chapter 2. It starts by saying, the word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now, it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. We are being told about those last days to come, the days that we are hoping to see. They may come now, they may come in your generation, they may come in the generation after you, but the fact of the matter is these days will come, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house, to the God of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways, that we may walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And He will judge between the nations, and will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up a sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Come, house of Jacob, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. There is word coming out here saying that a day comes, and indeed it will come, where there will be no war, where nations will be living in peace. And it's referenced in Hosea chapter 2 verse 18 that says, and in that day I'll make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I'll make them to lie down safely. Can there be a day when there is no trouble? Yes, it can be. Can there be a day where there is no fighting? Yes, it can come. Can there be a day of peace where even nature is with peace, has peace with each other, where animals are at peace with you, where you meet a lion and you cannot fight it, or it doesn't fight back, or He doesn't attack you? That day can come. Can that day reach? It's spoken of here. Because on that day, there will be a covenant between the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, creeping things. When you find them, those things that used to scare you, and you don't have to run anymore. This day is promised. Even when war is no longer part and parcel of life. And it's spoken of here in Isaiah. For you have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with influences from the east. Now, the influences, God picked a nation for Himself. He said, Israel is mine. These are my people. These are the people I love. These are the people that we need to lead in this world. They represent me here on the earth. But somehow, they forget the Lord. They abandon the Lord. They abandon the things that He tells them to do because they are filled with influences from the east. You know, we are children of God, and sometimes influences come in and mess up everything. You are influenced by the forces of this world. You are influenced by the evil in this world. You're influenced by friends who do not fear God. You're influenced by company that does not revere God. And all that brings a problem between that relationship that I have with my God. And here He says, they have picked the influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. Yeah? Here are some of the things we are being told about these men, the things that they are doing, negative. Yeah? And in the former times, soothsayers were people who believed they could see into the future and say what is going to happen. And we have many of them these days. And some are soothsayers, and they are called prophets. You need to be careful, yeah, because you may be talking to a soothsayer, and they can predict what is going to happen in the future. By different sort of work, they can be able to predict that. And now, these are the things, or these are the people, or these are the influences that Israel is speaking from the east, yeah? They are soothsayers, like the Philistines. The people of God, who walked with the Lord, who God picked from Egypt, have now turned to predictions. And they strike bargains with the children of foreigners. Yeah? Their land has also been filled with silver and gold. Of course, and there is no end to their treasures. Of course, now this goes down to greed and the desire to look at money as the only thing that matters, forgetting God. Yeah? Their land has also been filled with horses, and there is no end to chariots. It's war all the time. Their land has also been filled with idols. Those who used to worship God are now worshipping idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their fingers have made. So the common man has been humbled, and the man of importance has been abased. But do not forgive them. That's what he's saying. Do not forgive them. Enter the rock and hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty. The proud look of a man will be abased, and the loftiness of man will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. This proud look that we carry, yeah, they're talking about it here, it will be abased. Yeah? They're talking about the loftiness of man, and that it will be humbled. And it is only the Lord that shall be exalted in that day. You know, we exalt many things. We exalt the money we have. We exalt the properties we have. We exalt the things of this world. But the only person to be exalted is the Lord. There is no man who receives such as exaltation. It is only the Lord that I have to exalt. It's only the Lord that I have to praise. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5 tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That is my call. I cast down imaginations. You know, sometimes there are imaginations that eventually become exalted. And you always have those imaginations of greatness in your life that you forget about God. Well, I'm supposed to be thinking about God and how I lift him high, how I exalt him, how I take him on the highest. I start to think of the things that I desire. I start to think of how much wealth I need to have. And imaginations are filling my heart, my mind, that I start to exalt that which I imagine and not exalt the Lord of heaven and the earth. And he says, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I need to be able to have the Lord and the Lord only. Because there are things that will come, place themselves in your life, and take the place of God, that you forget about God. And the day comes and you have no knowledge of God, and they're asking you about godly things and you have no clue, because other things have been exalted in your life. Verse 12. For the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against everyone who is proud and lofty, and against everyone who is lifted up, that he may be abased. There is a day that they are talking about here, a day that is to come, where you have to account for your actions, where you have to account for the things you do, for the way you lift yourself up high, for the pride that you show, the loftiness in your life. And that is one thing that should bring caution to my life. Yeah? I need to know how to act, how to work, because the day comes, yeah, when you have to give account, and you give it to the Lord of hosts. and it will be against all the cedars of Lebanon that are lofty and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, against the lofty mountains, against the hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall, against the ships of Tarshish, against all the beautiful craft. Now, when they're talking of this, they're not just talking about trees. It also is an implication of man himself, because it's man to account for what he's done. A tree cannot be proud. It is man. So it may be just a reference given in trees and mountains, standing for people and nations that will have to come out and speak. The pride of man will be humbled, and the loftiness of men will be abased, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. A day will come. It doesn't matter how much we've put glory on very many things in this world. It doesn't matter. A day will come when it is the Lord alone that is being worshipped, the Lord alone that is being exalted, and I need to be part of that day. I pray that God gives me the grace to stand so that I see that day when he's the only one being exalted, when we are not exalting people anymore, we're not praising women anymore and men and all those sorts of things, but rather praising and exalting the Lord alone. And that day shall come, yeah? But the idols will completely vanish. All the things that man has created shall disappear. Men will go into the caves of the rocks and into the holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he arises to make the earth tremble. In that day men will cast away into the moles and the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and to the clefts and of the hills before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. Yeah? Isaiah is telling us here of that day that is coming. Stop regarding man, whose breath of life is in his nostrils, for why should he be esteemed? He's telling us, stop regarding man. Stop fearing man. Stop considering man. Stop esteeming man. It doesn't matter what they've said they are going to do for you. They are not God. It doesn't matter what they threaten to do to your life. They are not God. God is in charge of it. God has control over your studies. It's not a man. It's not in the man's pocket that you have to esteem them and even go ahead to do things that you're not supposed to do just because of that. Your future does not lie in the hands of men. It lies in the hands of God. So we stop regarding man as if they are the only important thing. Yeah? And we start exalting them. We start exalting those that have promised to help us. No, we don't exalt. We exalt God. Because whenever you exalt man, you're worshipping him like an idol. Whenever you exalt man, you're putting God aside. Keep on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Because with man, his breath of life is in his nostrils. Why should he be exalted? James chapter 4 verse 14 tells us, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So that person that is calling for all the esteem in the world, their life can vanish away. Just like vapor, it can disappear. Yeah? It is not all that matters. What matters is the Lord. What matters is the Lord. And I look to him. I esteem him alone. I regard him alone. Not man whose life vanishes. And when it has vanished, what else shall I look at if I did not consider the Lord in the first place? Chapter 3, for behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the warrior, the judge and the prophet, the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor and the expert artisan, the skillful enchanter, and I'll make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. He's saying to Judah and Jerusalem, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Since you don't regard me anymore, since you don't exalt me, since you don't esteem me, I'm going to change the way your life operates. I'm going to cut off supply and support. You will look for bread and you will not find it. You will look for water and you will not find it. Yeah? You will look for a judge and a prophet and you will not find them. I will take them away. I'm going to take away everything that you have. And to top it up, he's telling them that he's going to give them lads as their princes. He's going to bring people to lead them, young kids. Now, in Ecclesiastes 10:16, we looked at scripture that said, "Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes eat in the morning." You know, being given a child to lead, in this context that he's trying to tell them here is, I'll give you somebody without experience. Childish, that they do everything in the way that is bringing trouble to you as a nation. And says, that is what I will do. They will be capricious children. And they will be the ones ruling over you. And that is a punishment, a sort of trouble. Yeah? To be capricious means changing your mind unexpectedly. The king will say, let's attack. And then just like that, when you're walking, he says, let's go back. And they come and hit you. That's what he's trying to tell them. Because you do not esteem me, you do not fear me, you don't walk with me, I'll do that to you. Cut off your supply and even bring children to lead over you. And we saw a number of children or kids or young men leading Jerusalem, leading Judah at a young age when we looked in the book of Kings. Yeah, we saw that there were many kids that came, and some of them or even many of them did not come in the right shape. They were people who misled the nation. That's what he told them, that if you disobey, that is what is going to happen to you. And the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor. The youth will storm against the elder, and the inferior against the honorable. When a man lays hold of his brother in his father's house, saying, "You have a cloak, you shall be our ruler, and these ruins will be under your charge," he will protest on that day, saying, "I will not be your healer. For in my house is neither bread nor cloak. You shall not appoint me ruler of the people." Israel, even when you go to look for the one that is sensible to make them leader, they will say, "I will not be. For Jerusalem has stumbled and Judah has fallen because their speech and their actions are against the Lord, to rebel against his glorious presence. The expression of their faces bears witness against them, and they display their sin like Sodom. They don't even conceal it. Woe to them, for they have brought evil on themselves. Say to the righteous that it will go well for them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions." Of course, when judgment is coming, the righteous are spared. Yeah, we look at that in the Bible. "Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet shall I know that it shall be well with them that fear God," which fear before him. Those who fear God are safe. If you fear the Lord, you are safe. You run from judgment. And that is the life I need to live. I need to walk. I need to fight for. That I always fear the Lord and walk in his statutes, because then I am safe. Woe to the wicked. It will go badly with him. For what he deserves will be done to him. For all that is done to the wicked, here he says, it is deserved. Yeah? "Oh, my people, their oppressors are children, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who guide you lead you astray and confuse the direction of your paths." And he says, "The Lord arises to contend and stands to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment with the elders and princes of his people. It is you who have devoured the vineyard. The plunder of the poor is in your houses." He's giving reference here to people who torture, yeah, those that are in need, people who torture the poor. And this is something that we see often, yeah, people being tortured, the poor, those that have their property taken away from them. Yeah, these are the ones he's talking about here. You look at the poor and you don't regard them. And may God give us the grace to be people who always consider the poor, the widow, the orphan. James chapter 2 verse 6 says, "But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats?" This is common. When somebody has money, they think they have the whole world. So they torture the people in need. They come and take away their land. They steal from them. Yeah? And he says, what do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the face of the poor, declares the Lord of hosts. God always looks at the people that are depressed, the people that you come out to torture. God looks at them. And that's why you can never get away with torturing a widow, an orphan, the poor. When you do that, God repays you at one point. Verse 16, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are proud and walk with their heads held high and seductive eyes and go along with the mincing steps and tickle the bangles of their feet. Therefore, the Lord will afflict the scalp of the daughters of Zion with scabs, and the Lord will make their foreheads bare. In that day, the Lord will take away the beauty of their anklets, headbands, crescent ornaments, dangling earrings, bracelets, veils, headdresses, ankle chains, sashes, perfume boxes, amulets, finger rings, nose rings, festal robes, outer tunics, cloaks, money passes, hand mirrors, undergarments, turbans, and veils. Now it will come about that instead of sweet perfume, there will be a petrification. He is telling them that even your women, I will take all the things that make them beautiful, all the looks they have that they praise, and they'll be looking terrible. Sweet perfume will be putrefaction. That is a process of decay. Yeah? That instead of smelling perfume, they will smell decay. Their skin is chipping. They are rotting on body. They will smell decay. Instead of a belt, they will use a rope. Instead of well-set hair, a plucked out scalp is what they will have. Instead of fine clothes, a donning of sackcloth. And branding instead of beauty. Branding means you make up your beauty. You know, beauty is not hidden, for starters. And beauty is seen. But when it is gone, this day that is telling them, they will have to make it up. They will have to draw lines on their faces. Make sure that they create the beauty because they do not possess it. And that is something he's telling them because of disobedience. Your men will fall by the sword and your mighty ones in battle, and her guests will lament and mourn, and deserted she'll sit on the ground. All that is because of disobedience. All that is because they do not want to obey the Lord. May God give us the grace to always walk with him. God give us the grace to always stand for him. God give us the grace to always represent him at all times, because that is what matters. It's better for me to be obedient and walk with the Lord than to wait for his judgment that is coming. Because when judgment comes upon a land, it lays it bare. It takes away everything that you have. It takes away all the things that you hoped for. It takes away your beauty. And what you're left with is branding. You just seem, but you know, you are not that which you always were. And may God give us the grace in this day and age to always walk with him. Because when that day comes of judgment, I need to sit on the right side. And that's the side of eternal life. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your revelation. We thank you for speaking to us. And we pray and ask you, Lord, to always govern our walk, govern our steps. May we always represent you at all times. And may all glory and honor always go back to you all the days of our lives. We give you glory and we exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.